Welcome to another episode of Under the Mango Tree, a podcast of Vila Sul residents of the Goethe Institute Salvador Bahia. Here we embrace artistic research, global exchange, and the stories that arrive when Salvador meets the world. So I'm Audrey Anunciação, a playwright, director, and researcher born in Salvador, Bahia. This year's theme, Fabrics of Narratives, invites you to think about storytelling as something woven through cultures, experience, and encounters. Today we are joined by two artists working with storytelling and imagination, Ankit Havani and Alexander Craig. Welcome here, under the mango tree. Can you see the tree?
Yes, I see it in my head all the time.
Do you like mango?
I love mangoes. I bought three and ate it, them all. It was delicious. My face is still full of juice.
I love mango. You, Ankit, you like
it? I love it too. I mean, India, so mangoes, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mango lassi.
Oh, wow. I love mango lassi. Awesome.
And yeah. There's a place here in Salvador if you want. You're coming here in Salvador now. You are here. There's a place you can drink mango a very lassi. Nice mango lassi.
Yes,
it's not like yours.
I would love to try it.
It's very different. How was your trip here in Salvador? Too long?
So you had a long trip. Quite a story.
I had a 28-hour long flight.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, I was supposed to have a 36-hour long flight before, so this was a new trip. I'm happy.
Here.
I came through Africa, so.
Oh, yeah, I understand. And you, how was your trip?
It was okay. It was 18 hours, but I came from the snow, so I was really happy. I had a stop in Panama City, and even if I had to wait, it was like, I'm in the
You're
calor,
happy because
so
you don't have snow.
I don't mind. I'll wait here.
But you know, people here in Salvador love snow.
Yeah.
Because we don't have it.
Yeah, that's it. You always want what you can have. That's why I've learned.
I see in your face that you are happy you are in Salvador.
Yes.
How was it? It's your first time, you both, here in Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
First time.
Yeah, huh? First time in South America.
It's my first
South
time.
American.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's my first time, actually. Besides Russia, I haven't been anywhere else. So this is the world opening up for me.
What was the first image that you got in Salvador? You, Alexander, the first image was from where? From the plane? From the land?
Like the first image?
A tree, a dog, a cat.
Yeah, well, I came here like at like 2 in the morning. So it was pretty dark.
Okay.
Took the taxi and got here and they couldn't find the key. So I was like, I was waiting a little bit. So I had time to look at the, feel the how you say, because I'm French. So that's why I'm looking for my words in English because it's not my first language. So I was, in French we say chaleur. In Portuguese we say calor. So I was like outside and just feeling the hot hair. That would be the first image of like.
Good. So Alexander arrived at night.
Yeah.
So the sun came the next day.
Exactly.
And you, Ankit, what was your first image of Bahia?
Actually, my first image of Brazil is where I would like to begin with. I saw kites while I was on the flight, which was my first time ever from Sao Paulo. And when I came to Bahia, it was raining.
It
was 12 in the night. It was raining. And my first
impression.
I opened the car door on the left-hand side because we don't have the driver's seat there. And there was the driver. So you know, that was my first left-hand drive experience. And what struck me was Salvador reminded me so much of Mumbai. It's literally like Mumbai with a little bit of a twist. And I'm still getting around how familiar and unfamiliar it seems. So I'm quite pleased with that, actually.
Oh, that's good for you. And Alexander, we are a bit like Montreal or not?
They're very different, especially at the time of year. I was like deep in the snow and it was minus 20 something. So it's really different and I like it.
You both works with storytelling and imagination. Tell me about your work. I mean, what do you do in life, you both? Beginning with Ankit.
Okay. So I trained as a painter. And then, of course, I mean, I'm a visual artist. I work with material, paintings, installations. I work across mediums. And I also was teaching visual art for a while. I like working with kids. I like working for kids, where I used to illustrate children's books. I used to teach them, as I said. And suddenly I had an urge to quit my teaching job and do something with puppetry. It was a response to an impulse. And now I'm a shadow puppeteer primarily. I perform for children. I perform in theaters. I design shows. So yeah, more or less, I live this three-part life, which is I'm trying to always bridge, which is visual arts, teaching, and illustration, and puppetry.
Cool. And you, Alexander, what to do in your life?
The best I can.
We all do it.
Yeah. Because I never know how to answer that question, because I try to mix everything. I'm a social worker. I used to. I do social work. I do music as well. I play the guitar. I play the bass. I play the fool. And I sing, and I write in French, and...
Oh, you sing!
I sing.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait for me later.
Yeah, we will sing a little... will you sing with me?
I will be like disturbing you, but let's sing a song.
Yeah, we can sing anything.
Which song would you sing now?
Here, right now?
Under the mango tree.
Well, I don't know, because at first my favorite band is the Beatles.
So. Beatles, hearing by you, people love Beatles.
They love the Beatles?
Yeah, but Beatles.
I think it's the best band in the world. And that's the whole point of me doing music, is because I want to meet Paul McCartney. That's my that's my ultimate dream. And the name of the band is Ultimate Dream. So maybe...
You want to sing? Because it's a good start to show the people what to do in life.
Yeah, sure, but I don't know if I can sing properly, but the first song I think of is either the Beatles or an Italian song, because my grandmother is Italian and she would sing O Sole Mio or so, things like that. So depends. We could do an Italian version of a Beatles song, maybe.
That wow, would be wonderful. Let's
I can do that.
But what
song of the Beatles do you like? Because I know them all. Every single one.
In Beatles songs, you mean?
Yeah.
Blackbird.
Blackbird. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. I know it. I could bring my guitar next time.
Oh.
Take these broken wings, learn to fly all your life.
I love this song. Mm. Sung by Sarah Vaughan. This version is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Blackbird.
And Beyonce would do a version of it.
Also too. Very beautiful.
And he always does it live. Mm-hmm. And he talks about creating this song about segregation. And he went to the south of the United States, and the public was segregated. And the Beatles said, no, we're not playing if the public is segregated. Mm-hmm. So it's the first non-segregated show in the south of the United States. So it's a beautiful moment. So everybody was together. So
amazing, amazing.
Yeah, that's why I love Paul.
You do a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what brought you here in Soldo? What's the main activity of Alexander that will be inactive here?
Yeah, well, I want to create music here. I want to do some collaboration. Yesterday, I met some very interesting people. Hopefully, it's going to work out. And I want to draw my residency. So
draw?
Yeah, draw. So I posted online the first week. No, not the first week. The week before, getting ready and having the note, having the email of you're going to Brazil. And I draw a little comic about that. So I never know what I'm going to draw. Maybe I'm going to draw a comic about our little encounter today.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, the theme of Vila Sur Residence this year is Fabrics Narratives. Ankit, what does your work has to do with this theme, Fabrics Narratives?
I would like to just step back a little with my education. Interestingly, I did study textile design, and I dropped out of it because I did not like it then. And then I got very attracted eventually when I was training as a painter to textiles, to weaving, to craft. And a lot of my work, firstly, does almost visual citations. It looks back at traditional Indian crafts, techniques that have to do with material, hand, the involvement of body and material. And in terms of the theme of the residency, I mean, as a puppeteer, of course, the story comes in first, and then we start playing with form and, you know, things align. So a lot of my puppetry practice, I work with a team. We are a team of three people, a visual artist, that is me, an animator filmmaker called Adeep, and Aarti, who's our writer, and she's also the actor. She's the one usually doing the narrative bit, and I'm the one visualizing the narrative. So that's one space of the narratives. But I, in my own practice, I do wordless narratives. I make comics which are wordless. I'm extremely attracted to wordless stories because I feel like words can be messed around with and misinterpreted. But images, you know, they hold something and they connect us. That's something I believe in. And I, in fact, have a rule. Every birthday, I gift myself 2 children's books. And nowadays, I try to make one of them at least a wordless comic. So yeah, a lot of my work is to do with narratives, but wordless, and crafts. And yeah, I mean, they are interwoven. It's about the spaces between things. And I'm saying this because when I talk about my work, I say I make fragmented narratives in space. And what I mean is there's material, there's an interjection of text, there is something else. And by the looks of it, they do not look connected. And then eventually, if you spend some time, they, you know, you come in and you connect the dots. And yeah, I mean, that's also what I think textiles do, fabrics do.
Good. I love the space between things. Mm-hmm. What do we have in the space between things? I like to ask this because you both work with storytelling or telling story or even with music, with puppets. And I think it's amazing when the artist trying to figure out something that we don't see it, that the science doesn't show us. So when you tell me working with the space between things, it sounds like I am trying to read something, not something new, but a different way to understand the stories. Yeah. When you say, I was saying Beatles in Italian, it's trying to find a way between the things. So tell me, how do the puppets deals with in your work trying to fulfill these spaces? How your puppets fulfilled this space between things?
That's very nicely framed. What see, honestly, with puppetry, I began very spontaneously, as I said. I just had this urge that I want to try puppetry. And later, when I tried to bridge the dots, I realized the urge came from this need to find joy, playfulness. Because a lot of visual art gets too intense and I felt like was limiting me. But puppetry helped me break out of that shell a little bit, of the introverted, locked-in artist in a room, and brought me out to community, brought me out to play and connecting with children. And I might be losing my train of thought a little bit, but you asked how the puppets have helped me look for the space in between.
Yes.
This space of joy, of bridging, you know, like intense thought, but also play. Puppetry has helped me bridge that. That's one thing. And I am now trying to bridge the gap between puppetry and visual arts in my practice, because these were two islands and, you know, I'm trying to see what waters connect them. So at Villa School, that's also something I want to push further, understand how they are connected in my practice, because they are interests. They're different interests, but I am the bridge and I want to figure out what is it that draws me to both of them, if I'm answering your question.
I have a question for Alexander. What is Rêve Ultime?
Rêve Ultime.
Did they say it right?
Yeah, it was Rêve Ultime.
Rêve Ultime.
Rêve Ultime. Okay. It's in French, that means ultimate dream. Basically, is like I've been doing music for like 20 years. And at one point, I was kind of tired of it because it was hard. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't sing anymore. Maybe I should stop, you know? And I started dreaming about songs. So I would wake up in the middle of the night, 3 in the morning, and be like, I have a song. So I went and kind of like figure it out. And then I would go back to sleep. And then I would listen to this song. I was like, that's pretty good. And then I had like a bunch of songs like that. I would dream, like, again, I love the 60s, you know? So I dreamt that Bob Dylan would sing a song with George Harrison. And I woke up and like, this song doesn't exist. I should, like, maybe I record this one. And at what point I had like a bunch of songs, but they didn't do anything with it. And this is a really crazy story. I never told it before, but I'm going to tell you. But I dreamt that God would take away my songs if I didn't do anything with them. And I woke up and I was so scared. But I was so scared. So I was like, oh, I have to do something with it. And then, so I was like, I promised myself, and I dreamt that God would take away my songs, and it was in a glass jar. I could hear the songs through the jar, and there was saxophone inside, like in the jar. So I was like, my songs need to have saxophone, and I need to do something with it and commit to it. So I did, and here I am.
Oh, you bring this heavy utmi to us. You will work with it here in Salvador?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's like the name of the project is Revultim. So basically, it's kind of like bridging the gaps of like social work, illustration, and music. So I took it and like under the umbrella of Revultim, I can do whatever I want. I'm not just a social worker, a musician, or illustrator. I'm Revultim.
And how does music become a storytelling in your work? For example, how
the
song music become a story to tell?
Yeah, well, storytelling is, I feel that storytelling is also part of my social work, you know, because I'm like, I meet people like one-on-one that have problems. So I feel like it's kind of like storytelling. They're talking about what they found difficult in life and what they're going through. So basically it's storytelling. And there's a famous social worker named Brené Brown. I don't know if you know her, but she's really famous on Netflix and YouTube. But she's like, social work is storytelling. It feeds my story, like how I write lyrics. And it talks about, sometimes it's about a story about a client. Like there's a sentence that's really strong. Like this is going in a song. It's so beautiful. And sometimes it's in dreams. Sometimes it's my personal life because I've been in a relationship for 20 years. At the end of the month of January, my girlfriend broke up with me. So I was like, so I feel that it's connected to, like, I would write about it, even though I never thought it would end. But anyways, that's another story.
It's interesting because when you're talking about storytelling in music, I remember now, I don't know why, Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
because this song is always, there's always a, it looks like a movie, telling the story of someone, and yeah, I think that's the standard way of thinking about narrative, because I know that narrative has a lot of shapes, but when I'm trying to mix in my mind music and storytelling, I go through this type of guy, Beatles also, and in Brazil we have a lot of them that I can suggest you also to hear, to listen to. Renato Russo, and he used to work in the rock, we call it Brock, like Brock. It's a rock from Brazil.
Oh,
it's
that's nice.
Brock time. It was 80s, 90s.
Okay.
And that moment, there were a lot of singer and composer that tried to start tell things with the songs. And the songs would used to be about 6 minutes, 7 minutes telling the story. One song of this guy became a real movie. So if you want to know a bit more about him. Ankit, you are interested in Teatro Lambi Lambi. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how did you meet Teatro Lambi Lambi? Because it's a very local way of theater. We call it Lambi Lambi. If you are listening in another place in the world, L-A-M-B-E, Lambi. What did you find Lambi Lambi? And what does it have, the crossing of Teatro Lambi Lambi in your work?
When I was nominated for the residency, I was obviously looking for puppetry forms here. And I felt like this form was made for me, like it was invented for me to be here and experience it, because the coincidence was humongous. I had just finished a project for a museum in Delhi called Kiranadar Museum of Art, where we had, and I was working with this trust called Katkatha Puppet Arts Trust, who had commissioned me to paint some of their miniature boxes, which were interactive in a spatial interaction. Mm-hmm. I just finished that project some months ago. And when I found Lambi Lambi, it was exactly that. And then when I stepped back and I looked, what was very interesting for me is, it is 2-3 minute puppet shows inside a box. So you're literally wearing the box on your head almost, or like, you know, you're having an intimate experience, and it's just a 2-3 minute narrative. What I have struggled with puppet shows while working is because I work in a group, and as I said, I used to work in isolation, and I'm not able to bridge these gaps. And Teatro Lambe Lambe does it, where one person is doing a solo act. It can be wordless. It is intimate. It is miniaturesque. Everything that, when I look back at my work, it's the dots were just lining up. You know, it was all aligned. And a lot of my work is very pet size, very small, mainly because Mumbai is a small place. I don't have storage space, but also because I like to pay attention to small things, to intimacies, to daily absurdities. And Lambe Lambe brought all of these together. I don't even know how I will interact with it, but I really want to witness it and see what I can, you know, how can we converse, Lambe Lambe and me. And I met Denise last night, who is one of the founders of Lambe Lambe. And I was fanboying like crazy because I owe it to her. A lot of me being here is because of that one form that she discovered, invented. So yeah, I mean, I see a lot of connects there, and I want to see if I'm bluffing, if I'm speculating, or if it's actually true. But I'm extremely excited about the form.
I mean, for you, Ankit, and for you, Alexander, what's the importance of the humor in your work?
I think it's really important, because sometimes, like with my work as a social worker, it's difficult stories, you know. And doing music with it, it's like, I don't want to do like dark music, like depressive music. I want to do fun, but the subjects are sometimes a little bit difficult. So that's like the uplifting part. Like, yes, it can be difficult, but we can like still just laugh about it. And I love The Simpsons, you know.
I love it. You also can too. We three.
There's an episode where Homer, like everybody, like is dead. Like, I think it's probably a special Halloween episode, you know? And he wakes up and he's like, everybody's dead. Oh my God, I lost everything. And it's like, okay, now it's time to laugh. And he just like laughing like crazy. He's like, now it's the time I can do whatever I want, because nobody's there. So I just feel like this little skit, this little episode is kind of like what I'm trying to do with my music. It's like, I can do whatever I want because there's nothing left.
Yeah, because humor comes from different motivations. Yeah, you can have humor because you are in danger. You can have humor because you have a critic, a reflection about something. Or you can have humor just because it's from our nature. I think humor is from our nature. People say, but we don't see animals laughing. And I always say, what do you think that animal doesn't laugh? Yeah. I think sometimes they are laughing in their ways. So I think humor belongs to our nature. So yeah. It's totally comprehensible when you both work with humor for narratives.
Exactly.
It has to be. Even in tragedy, we have humor.
And sometimes I feel like the message is easier to get to pass by because of humor. Because, like, I quote against this with The Simpsons, but they talk about like real subjects, and sometimes it's deep and it's real, but they put in it like it's such a humorous way that you're like, oh, that's, I'm going to listen to it. And, but the message is still there, even if they're joking around. And
yeah. Oh, so you, Ankit, you'd say something?
I would like to also add to this, where I remember this quote by one of my mentors, and she said, a puppeteer's life has to be light. Right. And this thing of lightness is something that stayed with me, because, you know, it's a good reminder to especially have in the times we are. And I feel like joy is rebellious. Mm. And in fact, that's one, in my proposal, that was one of the major observations I could make about Salvador when I was reading about the history. And then when I would Google the images or videos, and they would not add up. And that was the beauty of it, the irony. So I also see humor not just as haha laughter, but irony, paradox. Also, just that nervous laughter in front of, with puppets, that happens when you see a dead doll moving in front of you. You giggle because it's not just funny, it is also unnerving. And I feel like laughter shakes up the inertia and breaks out, like humor shakes up inertia. And that's something I enjoy in my work. And I lost 1 point, but if I get back to it, I'll tell you. But yeah, I just wanted to add to the humor bit.
But you play with puppets.
I do.
And you play music.
It is.
So
yeah,
it's not the word like plays. You don't work music. Yeah. You don't work puppets. Yeah. You play with them.
Yeah, you play with them. You just let loose and you... it also connects, no? Humor lightens, as he said, you know? It lightens things. And it's necessary. Or else things are too... In fact, I had a project fully about laughing in front of a crematory pyre. Like when you see a body burning. And I had a whole project about laughing in a funeral. And I felt like that also is a kind of... I don't know if it's humor, but it's laughter. Which is why I'm trying to understand this gap between humor and laughter. But yes, humor is a tool that helps.
Yeah.
As a practitioner, it's a very helpful tool.
Yeah, it's important also that when you tell about the lightness, yeah, for everything, yeah, you have to be lighter, more. Okay, I know what drove you both to Salvador. But in fact, it's the first or second day in Vilassu today for you. You are... Yeah.
For me, these guys have been around for a while.
I've been around for a week.
Yeah. Around for a week, yeah.
I had an issue with the transit visa.
But it's still in the beginning, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
But maybe there's a little bit an imagine of expectation. So I'm trying to read what this imagination of yours brings to you, or you can tell us about this moment. What do you really expect beyond this Vilassu residence, beyond the things that we already know, the work? What's the deep expectation about this moment?
At first I was like, okay, what is going to happen here? What is it? And I asked Lionel, is there anybody from Montreal that came here before? And he said, yeah, there's this woman called Jacqueline. She lives in Montreal. She's 20 minutes from where you live. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have like tea with her and talk about what she went through and what she liked and what she didn't like, and nothing she didn't like, but and I was like, I have a plan. I have like first week number one, I'm going to do this week number two. And she was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. You have to feel the vibe. You have like to connect with people. You have to seize the moment. You have to see what's going to happen. You have to, and just be in the free spirit state, but you have to just not have everything planned. So I thought I would write a lot of music. And then I'm like, I drew a lot. It's like cartoons came out. So yeah, probably it's be in the present moment and see what was going to happen. Meet people and connect, yeah.
And you, okay.
For me, what I really want to see is... I come from a country which was also colonized, right? And we talk about it and there is always this lingering cloud of that. And here I am in a context which is... dense. It is so different than what I have seen, and yet there are connects. And I want to and I'm not talking about extracting content for my work from that, but I want to understand. I'm in a land which was, you know, this was the slave market, and this is something I cannot possibly understand. I have not but I want to witness, I want to observe, I want to understand. That's mainly one expectation I have, so that as a human being I can understand this and be sensitive enough to process it and find the right terms to talk, not just to be politically correct, but also to actually speak a language which is coming from an authentic space. That's one. The other is I really want to do one small theatre Lambilam performance.
That's true.
I really want to do a little box and play with it, you know, that's one thing. But one of my main aims the moment I landed was I want to connect with my residents, because I saw all of us have such interesting crossovers. I am fortunate enough to meet someone from Quebec, someone from Berlin and Argentina, someone from Peru, a weaver, a video condomble filmmaker, and Rev Ultima. So you know, I am really wanting to break out of my own shell and see how can we all also converge. That's maybe it. Maybe I spoke a lot, but
it was very good. And I was thinking philosophically, like, when sometimes when we're trying to plan the things so specifically, we do the things that was on the list, but we miss a lot of things. And sometimes we do not do the list of things, but do much more things that you would have done. at dawn. So I think it's nice to hear from you both that the plan sometimes is to have no plan.
Exactly.
But I need to meet the Teatro Bilabi. Understand? There are some little things that you have to do it. So, yeah.
Walk fearlessly on the street. That's another thing, you know, when you're looking up.
I feel it's kind of like love. Love, you. Sometimes I have to meet somebody that's like this. But sometimes you just have to meet people and see.
And feel it.
And feel it. Because it's not about okay. I like the hair. I like the mouth. It's about the feeling. It's about connecting. It's so
I'm learning with you both, but now is the time of the song. We have a singer here, and if you choose a song that me and Ankit know a bit, we can follow you or try to do some things. Which song could we sing now to celebrate this meeting?
Celebrate this meeting. Do you have one?
I was singing it while we were making lunch. I wanna hold your hand.
It's true. it's nice.
And that's. I think it's a great. It's a great sentence because I wanna hold your hand. It's about collaboration. Oh, yes, it's buddy. About building.
Yeah.
Building.
Buddy. Yes.
It's about
It's about
let's hold the hands. That's it.
That's what this residence is for. Also,
exactly
about holding hands.
That's it. Exactly.
Different people in the world. So it's a good, nice song. We end our talking tonight, or today, or this morning with you, Alexander Craig.
One, two, three, four. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh, please say to me, do, 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 let me be your man. And please say to me, do, 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 I wanna hold your hand. Woo. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Hey.
Bravo.
That was Under the Mango Tree Talk with Alexander Craig and Ankit.
Obrigado.
Thank you so much.
Obrigado.
Obrigado.
So that's what Vila Sul stands for: meetings, discovering new experience and ways of imagination in the world. If you want to know more about Vila Sul residence, stay tuned for the next episode of Under the Mango Tree, a Gate Institute podcast. Bye-bye.